We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It is Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. So easy to get in touch with the show. So easy. Just go to Twitter at Maggie and Pearl, P-E-R-L. You can hit up Andrew at Andrew Perloff. I'm at Maggie Gray. Podcast every day. Odyssey app with the rewind function every day. No excuses not to listen to the show.
Now, my mom, who is not tech savvy, has found a way to listen to the show every day.
Wow.
She's been sending full comments.
Okay, great. We'll get to her notes in just a little bit.
Yeah, her notes are all positive. They have nothing to do with sports. She doesn't understand who's this Tom Brady fellow, but she's a fan.
I've heard you mention him a few times.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Georgia. They're the national champs. They beat the University of Alabama last night, 33-18. We all know that. Kirby Smart takes down Nick Saban, although it was all smiles, really, between the two coaches. You'd expect Kirby to be smiling, but it was really surprising when Nick Saban was also smiling after the game and was really quite cheerful for somebody who just lost the national championship.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? He was over the top praising his players who had just lost. And, you know, usually when your former mentee beat you, you pretend to be happy for them. You're not really happy for them. But Nick Saban looked like he was actually happy for Kirby Smart.
Kind of weird. Genuinely happy. And, of course, it was unfortunate that the game really did turn, at least by many accounts, on an injury for Alabama. And that was Jameson Williams, who was an excellent wide receiver for the Alabama Crimson Tide, who unfortunately suffered a knee injury. Now, there were reports that he was trying to get back into the game for the second half, but the Alabama medical staff advised against it, and obviously Saban would as well, because he's got, as Saban said, a bright football future ahead of him. I mean, Perloff, this is somebody who is destined for the NFL, and to watch them get injured in the national championship game, you hate to see it when a kid is so close to be able to cash in on a lifetime goal. It's heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, it brought back memories of Willis McGahee ripping up his knee in the title game. Yep. We've seen a lot of guys get injured. Jalen Smith in Notre Dame ruining his career. I mean, he was a second-round pick. You know, last year, Jalen Waddle got hurt. He came back and was a top-10 pick and had a great year, amazingly, on a torn ACL. So hopefully Jameson Williams will be fine. By the way, so many things happened differently after that injury. The problem with Alabama was they couldn't score in the red zone. But when you have Jameson Williams, he catches the ball at the 40. He gets into the end zone. The guys that Alabama had couldn't quite finish there. And there were so many plays that Bryce Young looked like he was inaccurate. I was like, get both your hands up. The young wide receivers just didn't have that little special sauce. Now, it's not really fair to expect like five first-round picks in every wide receiver depth chart. I think Bryce Young has gotten a lot of help from these guys. But last night, he didn't get help, and he sort of looked mortal. But what frustrated me about it is these guys aren't getting paid. I mean, there's NIL, but Jameson Williams, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll have a bright NFL future, but he certainly lost millions of dollars last night. Is that fair? Were you bothered? Did you think about that in the moment, or were you just focused on the game?
No, you're always thinking about it in the moment for these, like, I call them kids, and I don't mean that to be pejorative. I see them as just like these young men who have worked so hard, sacrificed a lot, and are really just on the doorstep to cashing in. And I think it'd be impossible if that's not the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, yeah, you know, if you're a fan of Georgia, a fan of Alabama, you're thinking about the game maybe first and foremost. But I think for the rest of us, it comes to mind. And it's interesting because you wrote about this recently.
Yeah.
You know, in a former life, current life, you're still a writer.
Yeah.
But you really used to be a writer. I didn't think writing books and all that, you still are. But, like, you wrote something about NIL recently, and it caught somebody's attention.
Yes, I wrote about NIL, and I wrote about sort of the history of the term student-athlete and why it was completely bogus. Do you know where it came from?
I have no idea. Wait, well, who did you write this for?
So it was an education journal called Education Next, which is sort of a political education journal. So they called me because they were interested. NIL is a pretty big deal. It's the first time there's ever on campus these athletes who are making millions of dollars.
Wait, hold, I got to stop.
Yeah.
Education Journal.
Yeah.
Sounds a little highfalutin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's super highfalutin. Yeah. You should actually see it. It's like kind of goes...
You do 1,000 words on this?
I did 6,000 words.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of an academic journal. I have footnotes.
Oh, wow. That sounds boring. So, as my co-host, Andrew Perloff, Ivy League educated man that he is, writing for education journals, we're thinking about a segment we would call Margaret and Andrew. Something like that, right? We're kind of thinking about something.
Our full names, I like it.
Well, mine's not even Margaret, but it works for the bit. So when you do things like write 6,000 words for an education journal about the history of the term student athlete, I feel like that deserves something. Let's try something out.
Margaret and Andrew.
All right. It's not bad. Got the big Paul Turner voice.
It's very... It's kind of Downton Abbey-ish.
Yeah.
It's definitely sophisticated.
Do we have anything else? We got something else.
Oh, yes, of course. Margaret and Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Winner.
Yeah, yeah. The Monty Python. It sounds like a man pretending to be a woman. It's great.
It is. It's Doug. Thank you, Doug.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a little bit of, like, Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. Can I hear it again from Doug?
Oh, yes, of course. Margaret and Andrew.
I think he nailed it.
You know what was the only thing that was worse? Did you hear our producer, Mike, try and do that voice?
Yeah. I got that British accent.
Mike, can we hear your version of Margaret and Andrew?
Yes, of course. It's the Margaret and Andrew.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
is that not British?
I don't know what that is.
It sounds like a pterodactyl.
Would you like some tea and crumpets?
Yikes.
Can you do a British accent, Maggie?
Hell no. But I thought this was funny that you wrote this thing for the Education Journal about the history of the term student-athlete. And of all the people, this is probably actually the least surprising thing. Of all the people who picked up on this and quoted you in the Washington Post, yes, it gets even more highfalutin. Who quoted you in the Washington Post as who?
George F. Will.
I don't think we can get snobbier. I don't. I think we've hit maximum snob right here on the Maggie and Perloff show. This is we're 10 out of 10.
We're not on TV right now, but I am drinking tea with a pinky up. Snobby? I like a word.
Sifter of brandy is more.
Sophisticated. I think our audience is right with us here. I think they like to have a nice crumpet, drink a cup of coffee, and read education journals.
English muffin, guys.
Yeah, people love doing this. They love to curl up and read 6,000 words on the court history of how student athletes have had rights go back and forth. I have this about 400 words on this 1984 lower court case involving the NCAA versus the state of Colorado.
Oh,
would you like to hear some of the details?
No, I don't.
Habeas corpus, quid pro quo. There's lots of Latin terms in there.
Yeah, nice job. So this is George Will quoting you in the Washington Post. Andrew Perloff, writing in Education Next, says student-athlete entered academia's lexicon in 1957 when a widow lost a claim for workman's comp death benefits from Fort Lewis. I can't even read this. I almost fell asleep. I am sleeping and reading at the same time.
But you know what's funny about that case? It's not funny at all. The student-athlete case, this guy died on the field. Like, we're worried about Jameson Williams tearing his ACL.
Jeez.
This guy died on the field, and I think the college did not want to pay his life benefits.
Oh, my gosh. That's awful.
Because they said he's not a they said he's not a pro athlete. He's
a
student.
That's still been the debate up until today.
Nothing has changed 70 years. I mean, I'm going to write several long, highfalutin columns to argue it. But that gets back to the football point. These are professional athletes.
Yeah.
What we saw last night, you watched the game. There was 500 commercials. Where is that money going? I still think the system is sort of unfair. I still lean towards these players, whether they like it or not, are getting screwed. Everybody is happy today in Georgia. Nick Saban is hugging his players. Everybody's feel great. At the end of the day, the coaches are making tens of millions of dollars. I mean, Gus Malzahn made $21 million in a buyout. The administrators are making tens of millions of dollars. Everyone's making tens of million dollars. And then Jameson Williams is playing basically for next to nothing and tears up his knee and is falling 10 picks in the draft. Not fair.
Okay, so I'm with you on all of this, and we can, you know, joke around about it being highfalutin. You know, it is good work like what you're doing that brings us to the spotlight. But I think nobody cares anymore because there has been this sort of false equivalency that NIL solved this problem.
Yes.
And that's right. Just not true.
Absolutely not.
Right. So the NIL made it better, made it more fair, a little more, you know, you have guys at least they're making money, but the money's not being paid by the school. You're getting, well, boosters maybe. You're getting other endorsement deals. You just have the opportunity to make money. The school's still not on the hook. You know, they have like a little extra as part of your scholarship in terms of just like livable wages because guys are like, you know, didn't have enough money to eat. And so that part of it is there. But I think that there was a sort of like mission accomplished banner that gets raised because name, image, and likeness is now a possibility for these guys to make some money, but it's so far from the truth.
Yeah.
That's why I wonder if people even have this appetite to hear about it anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The NCAA tripped into the perfect solution where they don't have to pay the guys. And the public is okay because these guys are making a little money. All summer long, by the way, every congressman, Republican, Democrat, was ripping the NCAA to shreds, saying, like, how can they do this? Not only, you know, they're saying it was racist policies. They were saying they were inequitable. Supreme Court shredded the NCAA.
Yeah. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
It really was.
It was all great. But now we're back to where we were before. Basically, they get a little NIL money, and the NCAA just gets so much money. The NCAA doesn't actually get it directly from the bowl games. But last night, there was so much money made, and not enough of it went to the players.
You know what I smell? Another 6,000-word article or some kind of...
Do you want a co-author?
Some kind of academic journal. I'm busy that day.
I think we should you know, write something more near and dear to your heart. Some of the topics, like, should we write maybe an 8,000-word profile of Bill's Mafia?
It'd be more interesting than whatever you got going on.
A 6,000-word pizza review?
No, it's how to, like, you know, remove, like, puke stains from your best pair of Zubaz pants.
Yes, how to land properly on a table when you're jumping outside of the Bills Stadium.
Yes, fire breathing in you.
So basically, on the intellectual front, I'm going to have to carry the show.
You're Mike going to have to carry the load here on that kind of stuff. Speaking of the national championship game, though, last night it was as if things couldn't have gotten worse for the Indianapolis Colts fan, right, who watched their team lose in Jacksonville. Now you have the game last night in Indianapolis. It's less than, you know, 48 hours later, obviously. And who appears on the field but Andrew Luck? And I joked around to Peter King, the ghost of Andrew Luck, and I didn't mean that to be an insult, but the guy looks so much smaller than when we last saw him. It's like, you know, he looks like a normal person, not just like a, you know, stud quarterback. He looked extremely happy. He seemed like he was satisfied. It does not look like he is gearing up for any kind of comeback, that's for sure. He looked like he's out there making small batch whiskeys, and good for him. But that is tough if you are an Indianapolis Colts fan. The devastating loss. Carson Wentz was terrible in that game, and you have had a different starting quarterback every year since Andrew Luck surprised announced his retirement in August of 2018.
Now, Andrew Luck, he looks to me like one of the guys in the progressive Don't Be Your Dad ads. Like,
but the dad, yeah.
Yeah, okay, who's like, gets to the football game, is obsessed with where they're going to park so they can get out early.
Yeah, talking to the kid about the koi pond.
Yeah, I like your small batch whiskey, too. Yeah, Andrew Luck, by the way, was still disappointing. Like, he was a great number one overall pick. But think about what you expected with Andrew Luck when he got there. He was the one quarterback where you were guaranteed to get a Super Bowl.
He was on his way. He had that big comeback win in the playoffs. I mean, that was...
Right, and it just never happened. And you're right, it's been downhill. Now, if you're the Colts, do you bring Carson Wentz back? Forget the money. Do you have such... In my opinion, you have such a good team that you have to at least consider putting someone new in there.
Okay, so do they have such a good team? I mean, they could really use an upgrade in their wide receiver weapons.
Yeah, but you can get wide receivers.
Yes, you can, but they need to. So you have Michael Pittman, who's been really good, but the rest of the receiving core is like not amazing and also was pretty injured this year. You have Jonathan Taylor, so that's obviously an incredible offensive weapon, but you know, I read this in The Athletic, I couldn't believe it. Carson Wentz in his entire career has never played with a receiver that had a 1,000-yard season. And I believe it was Pittman this year. Zach Ertz was one receiver, he's a receiving tight end, who had 1,000 yards when he was the quarterback. So, like, I'm not saying that, you know, this
is cause and effect.
It's not Carson Wentz's fault. Maybe he couldn't find guys. You know that your boy Nelson Aguilar had a little bit of a drops problem when he was in Philadelphia. But Carson Wentz does not seem like he is going to be able to get through this. Now, I know Frank Reich was a little bit, you know, kind of danced around the issue about whether or not he was actually going to be the starting quarterback. Do we have the sound? Let's play it.
As far as Carson, again, I mentioned this the other day, just with individuals. We love the team we had this year. We knew everyone we brought in this year. We expected to play winning football. Next year's roster will be next year's roster. I'm not going to evaluate or talk about any. I don't want to just open it up with one player and then start talking about all of them.
Wow. You know, it's your quarterback. It's not just one player. You know, that's like an easy kind of way to sort of skate and skirt around the issue there. But when it's your quarterback and you're Frank Reich, and many believe that the reason Carson Wentz is even on the Colts is because your success with him in Philadelphia when Reich was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Frank, it's okay. You don't need to tell us about the long snapper. We're fine. You can just do
we'll
Carson Wentz.
Out.
You can just do, I mean, the other thing, that line is awesome there. Quentin Nelson's like a force. So I feel like if you have the offensive line, you're always going to have a running game. No, not taking anything away from Jonathan Taylor, which I actually am taking away something from him. A lot of guys can run behind that line. I think you have, I know there are no wide receivers, but if you have that line protecting, most quarterbacks can have success. And Wentz at moments does, but it's the mistakes. And I know you've warned me about Carson Wentz before. I thought Indy was going to be a team to beat. I thought they were going to be very dangerous down the coast, but you never quite bought it because of Carson Wentz.
No, I don't trust him. And now basically the cliff notes of the financials is that they can get out from underneath his contract after next year. So if they're going to stay with him this year, they're going to owe money. If they cut him, they're going to have a lot of dead cap money, yada, yada, yada. But the sort of bottom line is another year with Wentz most likely, and then they can get out from under it. It's Maggie and Perloff. We had Peter King joining us earlier on the show. He said he believed that one of the upsets this weekend could be San Francisco over the Dallas Cowboys. But is that the only upset we're going to be predicting? We'll tell you next. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius XM Channel 158. I came across this and I was like, oh, maybe this man has learned a thing or two. Well, probably not. So TMZ caught up with Antonio Brown yesterday.
Am I going to want to hear this?
Yeah, this one's safe for work and the car and wherever you may be listening to the sound of our voice. So TMZ asking the hard-hitting questions, you know, do you regret stripping down to just your football pants, throwing your gear aside, doing jumping jacks, and waving to fans as you headed to the locker room during the Tampa Bay Bucks win over the Jets at MetLife Stadium? Brown said, you know, probably wasn't necessary or professional. Congrats.
Wow.
It took him that long. I mean, now he's realizing it.
Look at the wisdom, how much he's grown. I'm impressed. It's a whole new Antonio Brown.
I know. Probably wasn't necessary. Yeah, he's probably right.
You know, in the 100-year NFL history, do you think there's ever been a conflict where a player was asked to go in by the coaching staff, even though he was hurt? And do you think that it went carried out the same way that it did with Antonio Brown? How many times have coaches told players to get in? They're like, I'm hurt. We'll get in there anyway. They don't take their shirt off.
Yeah.
It's not good, but you don't take your shirt off and run out.
Or just said to someone, get out of here, but thinking maybe they might just quietly walk to the locker room. But yes, he said it probably wasn't necessary or professional. So
I gotta be honest. There you go.
This is the Antonio Brown rehab tour starting right now.
Yeah, I'm relieved that it hasn't been an Antonio Brown week because last year was so bizarre that I got totally exhausted by Antonio Brown in 2 days. And now, by the way, it's already gone full circle. I kind of want to see him on the field for the Bucs. Because,
oh, come on.
But the Bucs need him. But speaking of playoffs, by the way.
Yeah. Are they going to need him to beat your Philadelphia Eagles?
I don't know. They have a lot of guys coming back. And if not for the Eagles game, the game after that. So don't discount the Bucs. Did you see Bruce Arians said Tom Brady?
I don't think anyone's discounting them. Shaq Barrett got activated today.
You're right. Nobody's discounting. Did you see Bruce Arians made a strong plea for Tom Brady for MVP?
Of course he did. It cannot be. This is, may I, just for 1 second, to my fellow members of the sports media. I implore you, it cannot be a headline when somebody's coach is caping for them for a season award. That's not news. Please stop. Because that's just, no kidding. Of course Bruce Arians is going to say that. We cannot keep printing this kind of thing.
So Sean McVay saying Cooper Kupp should be Offensive Player of the Year, yeah, does it?
Great. Good for you. Not everything they say needs to be printed. I love my fellow people in sports media. For the most part, I think people are working hard and trying to do a good job and do entertaining stuff and provide content. That's not a story.
I kind of liked it, though, because I'm a Tom Brady for MVP apologist. Dude has 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and the second-best team in the NFC.
And if Sean Payton said that, maybe it would be news. Bruce Arians saying it isn't news. Your own coach can't, like, wanting you to get an award is not news.
Okay, fine. If Matt LaFleur says that Tom Brady should be the MVP.
Exactly. That's a headline.
That is news. But I don't think anyone's picking the Eagles over the Bucs. Not yet. We'll get into our picks later in the week. I've been looking everywhere for a reasons Eagles can beat the Bucs. I haven't found it yet.
You already got to the end of the internet.
Yes.
It's not going to be there.
But I found a lot of San Francisco 49ers can beat the Dallas Cowboys, including Peter King last hour saying that's the one upset he expects. Have you seen this narrative forming that it's the worst matchup possible for Dallas?
Yeah, which I can understand. And Peter explained it very well about why he thinks that the 49ers could upset the Cowboys because, you know, the 49ers play the kind of style of football where you can keep Dak Prescott off the field. You can limit his possessions. If he only gets the ball 7 or 8 times, I mean, realistically, how much damage could he do if on the other end, San Francisco can run at the Dallas defense and control the clock? So I get everything that everyone's saying about it. But when I think about upsets that are most likely to happen on a super wild card weekend, my first thought always goes to the division rivals. Mm. If you have the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals and you have the Bills and the Patriots playing, those are the ones to me that are so ripe for the upsets.
So
because the teams are so familiar with each other.
But the Cardinals, nobody's on that bandwagon anymore. Did you get the memo there?
Yes, I got
from all the people.
The bandwagon left Detroit when they got smoked by the Lions.
Everybody moved on to Bruce Arians talking about Tom Brady for MVP. How can you be? There's just so much lack of excitement because the second half of the season for the Cardinals. And the Niners, on the other hand, are a rocket ship. They've been going up, up, up. In fact, I'll bet you there's some people wonder, why are the Cowboys favored in this game? Because right now, it hasn't been a big home field year. And we know as a fact that the Cowboys have not been the same team since Dak Prescott hurt his leg early in the season. Take away the Saturday night demolition of the third string Eagles. Take away the win over Washington football team. And their numbers are down across the board. They haven't run as well.
It's been an issue.
They haven't run as well. San Francisco is unbelievable at stopping the run. Second in DVOA against the run, throwing out that annoying analytical term that no one knows what it means. It is really, you know, it's what everybody says. It's a perfect matchup. Here's Dan Orlovsky on Monday said, it's a bad matchup for the Dallas Cowboys. It's a bad matchup for anybody in the NFC. I think it's mostly a bad matchup for the Cowboys because the Cowboys' strength is their pass rush. That run game is going to minimize that a little bit. Basically, you already said they could take out Dak Prescott.
Wait, hold on. Can I have the caution, serious football? Not the one that could get us in trouble, but the other one? Apparently, you can't run things that sound too much like an actual siren. I learned that today.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that. But we should have coming up serious football, the good one, the good version.
Warning.
There we go.
Warning.
Caution. Serious football conversation ahead.
Just got to get it out there.
But if you're in your car, you might think that's like a nuclear plant nearby is melting down. But the
so we're going to get in trouble either way.
So basically, you argue that you could take the ball out of Dak Prescott's hand. You take Micah Parsons out of the game. Now, where are all these Cowboys stars? The Niners have every answer here. It just feels like this is going to be Niners running all over them like they did at the Packers a couple of years ago, which to me, one, you know, I wonder, this is a Tuesday narrative. Is it going to totally change by the end of the week? I'm going to talk myself into the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm not jumping off the Cowboys yet. Not for this one. Not for this first round matchup here, because yes, I get it, what everyone's saying about San Francisco, but if Dak Prescott can maximize their offensive possessions, and I understand what you're saying about him and ever since he came back from the calf injury, but you are going to have your running game intact because Pollard is back, Zeke is they're ready to go. You do have deep threats, and the San Francisco secondary is just not that good. So I do think there's a path here. I mean, I think it's kind of a, like, X's and O's wise, I get it. And it's also kind of sexy to just sort of dump on the Dallas Cowboys because they always have all this star power and they have been disappointing. And, you know, there were massive expectations on this team, and then it sort of stalled in the middle of the season. And I think there's reasons for people to pile on the Cowboys. And I don't think that they're as pronounced as most people, or most pundits, if you will, are making it out to be. There's still tons of talent on this team. It's a home game for them. I don't think that can be discounted.
Okay, so you're going against Dan Orlovsky. You're going against Peter King. I understand we have some breaking news, by the way.
We have some serious football conversation. Let's add one more name to Black Monday.
Get out
of here. According
to
Josina Anderson, dun-dun-dun, Joe Judge is out in New York. It has now been followed up by Jordan Renan, Ian Rappaport, and a variety of other verified blue-checked accounts. Joe Judge is reportedly out in New York.
Wow. Wow. Leave it to the Giants. Leave it to the Giants to have their players yesterday having to meet the media, not knowing whether the head coach was going to be coming back, and actually putting those players out there to answer these questions about Joe Judge. And what are they going to say? Of course they're going to say, we love him, this and that. How could the Giants have waited an extra 24 hours? And I bet I know exactly what they're thinking. I've worked in New York for a long time. I bet this is what they're thinking. They gave Dave Gettleman, their general manager for the last 4 years, who under his stewardship, the Giants won a combined 19 games in 4 years. He is one of the worst general managers that they have ever had, maybe that the sport has had. I know that he took Carolina. They went to a Super Bowl. He didn't pick the quarterback there. That was totally different. He is an embarrassment as a general manager for the New York Giants. And I bet they wanted to give him his own 24 hours as a send-off before they fired Joe Judge. I could see them doing that.
Are you serious?
I could see them doing that because the Giants are extremely loyal to a fault, and I could see them wanting to give Dave Gettleman a proper send-off here and then get to Joe Judge.
But it
makes them look dysfunctional.
I thought it was, you were going to say, the public reaction to Joe Judge not getting fired, because there was sort of an outcry. It seemed like there was an outcry in local papers, local sports radio.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been piling up, you know, in front of Joe Judge for a long time.
I thought the Giants ownership saw everybody saying, wait, Brian Flores is getting fired in Miami and you're keeping Joe Judge. I thought it was more of that.
Yeah, but that's such faulty logic. Like, if your ownership is really making a decision based on another fan base being outraged about another coach getting fired, like, you know, we don't know what actually happened in Miami. You know, we have no idea. So that would just be ridiculous. I hope they're not that incompetent. I can't believe that. No, I think it's
less incompetent than this Gettleman theory you have.
No, it's not incompetent. That's like Pollyanna. Like, they think they're doing the right thing here. They would think that's the classy move. You know, Dave Gettleman was behind the scenes with the Giants, you know, when they were winning Super Bowls, didn't have the top job. But like, no, they think that's the right thing. And that's just a theory of mine. Wow, Joe Judge is out. You know what's crazy about that? All right, Plaud finally getting around to the right decision. One of the things about the Giants is they were very acutely aware of the fact that they have fired their last two head coaches before they got to year three. That was Ben McAdoo and it was Pat Shurmur. They didn't want to look like one of those bad organizations that's constantly firing coaches. But ask yourself, like, what's worse, sticking with a guy who you know isn't the guy just because you're worried about how the public is going to perceive it, rather than getting the right person in for the job? Wow. It's a little late, but I have to say the Giants finally did the right thing, because Joe Judge is just now another failed Belichick disciple. You know, he was up for that Mississippi State job. He probably should have taken it.
Yep.
Over Derek Jones.
I'll tell you, when you look back on the Joe Judge era, I think there's two plays that are going to stand out.
Yes.
And they were on second down and third down. they were both quarterback sneaks deep in their own territory. Is it possible it was the QB sneaks? Was that the nail in the coffin?
So it could have been, because that's extremely embarrassing.
It was.
And I think it was Judge sending a message, hey, this team is so bad, and the weapons you've given me are so bad, we're down to our third string quarterback, that I don't have another play in the playbook that I think won't expose us to giving up a safety here. That's why I have to literally go victory formation to run a QB sneak on second down and then on third down. I'm setting up for the punt on second down.
Yeah.
That's insane.
We protect our punters. I'm telling you. They're going to get their choice of free agent punters next year. You keep forgetting about that, Maggie.
I know. I'm not seeing the forest through the trees here. Anyway, so that's the breaking news. Thank you, Samter. Joe Judge is out, so now the Giants are looking for a new general manager and a new head coach. We're a little late to the update. Our apologies to Rich Ackerman. Here's a CBS Sports update. Maggie and Perloff, hanging out with you on this Tuesday, and we thought that the coaches' firings were all over, but here come the New York Giants bringing up the rear. Josina Anderson had it that they are parting ways with head coach Joe Judge. This is a day after they parted ways and, well, kind of forced their general manager, Dave Gettleman, into retirement.
I have so many questions. I know you know the New York Giants
pretty well. I just worked for the last 4 years at WFAN in New York, so I know the Giants very well.
Yeah, was it enjoyable to watch the Jets and the Giants lose every Sunday?
Well, that might be one of the reasons why this job seemed very appealing. Watch other teams that actually win games.
Okay, so can I ask you some I'm not a New Yorker. Well, I am a New Yorker, but I'm not really a New Yorker.
Yes.
Can I ask you some observations from the outside?
Sure.
Do you put the Mara family and the ownership of the Giants? We had talked about the McCaskies and the Bears being a little dysfunctional and maybe the Lions being dysfunctional at times. Are the Giants ownership group, is that now one of the dysfunctional units around the NFL?
So that's, I think, been one of the more difficult parts about this for Giants fans. The Giants themselves see themselves as one of those, you know, crown jewel franchises in the NFL. And the reality of the last half decade, and maybe you could extend it even more to that, since their second Super Bowl, you know, the results would give you a different outlook, because they have been one of those dysfunctional organizations where you've had the merry-go-round of coaches because they've just, quite frankly, hired poorly. They've had bad draft picks. They have had all the things that make teams and organizations dysfunctional. The Giants have been working out of that playbook. That's been the only successful playbook they've had over these last several years, is the ones that all lead to these roads, which is your third coach in 6 years and a franchise that has no direction. You have no idea if Daniel Jones is the guy.
That's my next question.
Well, and that's a huge one. And that was one that was supposed to be answered this year. So Daniel Jones was a controversial draft pick when it happened. Him taking him with the sixth overall pick, you know, Dave Gettleman said he fell in full bloom love with Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke, and nobody really saw him as a top 10 quarterback. They will have to decide whether they want to pick up the fifth year option on him at the end of this season. If I were them, and I think it's pretty obvious, do not pick up that fifth year option. Let him play out next year on the final year of his rookie deal. It's a very reasonable contract, and bring in competition for him.
Well, if you're looking at new GMs and new coaches, do you think it's possible that they're going to want to start all over again, not have Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback, well, bring in a new guy?
Yeah, possibly. And I think they'd totally be within the right, because you have no idea what Jones is. I mean, his skill set at times can be very tantalizing. He's able to run. He's big. He does have a good arm. But, you know, the turnovers were a massive issue. He started to rectify that a little bit. And then, you know, it's great when you have a running quarterback, but when your running quarterback's getting hurt all the time because they're outside of the pocket and they're getting knocked around, you know, that obviously makes things difficult, because you can't evaluate the kid.
Yeah, they have the fifth pick and the seventh pick via the Chicago Bears Justin Fields trade. So the new GM, I feel like if a new GM comes in, he's going to want to use one of those two picks on a quarterback, and maybe do Daniel Jones as a bridge.
Well, maybe. I mean, you're going to have to evaluate this class, which, you know, most consensus is that the class isn't good.
Oh, so, it's January. There's always a consensus.
Oh, we will hype them up to no end.
Oh, those guys. Where was Baker Mayfield in January 11th? Trust me, they will find quarterbacks.
But again, like, the last thing they can afford to do is reach for another quarterback. You don't want to keep making these same mistakes over and over again. And I think what, you know, one thing where Dave Gettleman, I think, really first started to be doomed here was taking Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick. It was just showed no awareness in terms of positional rankings. And meanwhile, Saquon Barkley hasn't been able to stay healthy. And that's not a shock because he's a running back. And Dave Gettleman had taken Christian McCaffrey with the eighth overall pick when he was the GM in Carolina, and then did the same thing, taking a running back really high when he was here with the Giants. And it's just, it's tough to say here with the Giants because they're going on reputation right now. The facts are this is not a good franchise right now. But they do have this reputation to fall back on. I just don't know how real that reputation still is in NFL circles.
So I'll paint a picture for you. How about this? Hire Jim Harbaugh on Thursday.
Yeah.
Then trade for Russell Wilson. Trade one of those or both of those draft picks for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, are you back in the mix? I mean, at least on the surface, you're back.
I'll tell you what. Like, that kind of star power, if you actually brought in like a Harbaugh and then added on top of Russell Wilson, which, by the way, Dave Gettleman left their cap in just complete and utter just tatters. This is a true story. The Giants could not dress 53 players on Sunday because they did not have enough money to pay the final four guys on the roster. That's real. That is something that I've never heard of. I mean, and you could say, well, the cap went down because of COVID last year. Okay, but like, that's insane to me. And just another reason why Gettleman had to leave. But now I'm getting kind of insider.
Yeah.
The Harbaugh, like bringing in Harbaugh and then also a quarterback, like that boom or bust potential is so huge. If I'm the Giants, like, I'm trying to play this one. I don't know if I'm swinging for the fences like that. I need massive changes. But, like, we're talking about coaches that can come in and settle a situation, like a Jim Caldwell, people like that. I wonder if that's going to be more the route they would take as opposed to going for the slam, like the grand slam of a Harbaugh and then a Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but they've been going for singles with Ben McAdoo and Joe Judge.
Pat Shurmur.
You don't want to repeat the same mistakes. So Joe Judge, former Belichick special teams coach.
Yeah.
I think they don't want a young guy like that. I don't think they bring in a Matt Eberflus, who, by the way, is now our generic assistant coach.
Dude.
Or Nathaniel Hackett, you know, who I'll bet you will get a long look here. Or Kevin O'Connell, a Sean McVay guy. I just don't see like a hot assistant being the answer here. I think it might work, but I don't think the fan base is going to be thrilled.
Yeah. I mean, I think I can speak for the fan base a little bit here, which is they don't care where it's going to come from. They just want it to work. Like, you've gotten to that point with the Giants fans where I don't even know if they feel like they need the star power of Harbaugh. And don't forget, like, Harbaugh doesn't really have any ties here. You know, the success that he had never happened even close to New York. And New York is it's a bubble. You know, it's like if you were great in New York, you get the benefit of the doubt. But if you were great in San Francisco, like, who cares? You didn't do it in New York. And that, I think, is very much the ethos of the fan base. I don't know if they're going to be so wowed by the star power of Jim Harbaugh that that's going to be, like, so blinding. But maybe that would work.
I'm very curious, too. And when you look at the whole NFL landscape, you have these openings. You have Denver. You know, maybe you'll have Houston down the road. You might have Las Vegas down the road.
Yep.
Chicago. Does the Giants one stick out a little differently? Is there still enough sizzle, like, the Giants? You know, we're talking about a big name. Could they attract a Harbaugh? Does Harbaugh even want to go there? Is there another big name? Is there a college coach who's like, I really want to try this? Lincoln Riley would have been maybe that name. I don't know if there's a hot guy like that. Maybe Ryan Day in Ohio State. Is there enough attraction with New York, you know?
I think you got to have somebody who has some kind of familiarity with the market. Really can help.
I don't think so. I think you bring in a novice who has nothing to do with this, so he's, you know, he doesn't care about the market because he's never been here. The last thing you want to do is engage with a hostile Northeast market, my opinion.
Well, but that's the funny thing because Joe Judge is actually from Philly. So you kind of thought that he had a little idea of what this Northeast kind of situation is here with the fan bases and how they're going to react. But the bottom line was, you know, the bottom line was they were just losing.
Yeah.
And they were not competitive in some of these games, especially the Bears game. I mean, the offense was so bad, and it was easy to scapegoat Jason Garrett. And I was one of the people who was on the Fire Garrett bandwagon, and I was staunchly in that camp because the offense, you look at the rank, you'd watch it with your eyes, number one, and then you look at it in the rankings, 31st, 32nd, 31st, 30th. Mm. I mean, they're ranked basically dead last in all of these offensive categories. And if you spend 5 minutes watching the team, you could see why. I mean, it's like they were allergic to the end zone. Joe Judge was so conservative in terms of, you know, going for it on fourth downs and not. And it was just, it was maddening to watch. Everything about them felt like it just needed a refresh. Like, guys, hurry up here again and catch up. I'm not saying you have to be Brandon Staley and go for it on fourth and one from your own 18 and basically what is a playoff game, but you had to be a little bit more aggressive here and put it in the hands of your players. And it has just been, it has been difficult. It has been a struggle. So in terms of the type of personality for New York at this point, they'll take anybody, just somebody who can be competent and win games.
Another thing I'm fascinated with the coaching carousel, the number of interview requests.
Oh, I know.
Are the Giants going to be like the Bears and all of a sudden name 11 different assistant coaches? Is it almost not nice to these guys? So like, you're one of 11. You have no prayer. Say you're Matt Eberflus or somebody.
Yeah.
Is it rude to interview 11 guys for the coaching job?
No.
Or are you doing your due diligence?
I think they're doing their due diligence, and I get it. The problem is that the way that Joe Judge got hired in the first place was he blew away John Mara in the interview.
Right.
And Bill Belichick gave the
nod of approval.
No, but what he actually said was he's better than the last two guys you hired. And considering how Pat Shurmur and Ben McAdoo flamed out, what did he really say there? I mean, how big of a like stamp of approval is that when that's the bar? He said he's better than the last two guys he hired. He didn't say it was good.
Now, the Joe Judge interview was in person, right? The one where he blew him away?
I believe so.
Yeah. How do you...
It was pre-COVID.
How do you blow somebody away on Zoom in these interviews? I find like that would be really difficult. Really, like,
you have to have a good PowerPoint with you, I think.
Oh, you share a screen, though.
You got to share a screen.
You got to share a screen. So you, or maybe use props or something.
Or do you have like a good background?
The background, like, I wonder.
I'm on the moon.
Yeah, like I'm on the moon. But what if, you know, when somebody has a background and they start to fade in the background because they get off the camera?
Yeah, the green screen.
Yeah, what if Nathaniel Hackett is trying to have like the Golden Gate Bridge behind him and he disappears? I feel like this is going to be like such an awkward month around the NFL.
Can I also say just what the Giants did here? And I guess I appreciate that they wanted to really take their time and you don't want to rush into a situation. But by not firing him yesterday, you have granted yourself an entire news cycle all to yourself so that everyone can now dissect your specific dysfunction and basically shred you.
That's a great point.
Like, why? I mean, if you didn't know or whether or not you were going to fire him until yesterday, I mean, what are we doing?
This is like the drafting a running back at number two overall of
terrible
firing your
decision.
Coach.
Yes,
yeah,
it
another
is.
Bad decision. I mean, if we have to rank all the bad decisions. Kenny Galladay signing is in there.
Kenny Galladay, who they gave $72 million, and he did not record a touchdown this year. I mean, it goes back to Saquon. There are so many draft picks that they whiffed on. They still haven't been able to build an offensive line. Terrible trades that they made. And I'm not just talking about the Odell Beckham trade. Other terrible trades that they have made that didn't get as much attention. This is a team with no depth, no identity, and no direction. And now they're going to be looking for a new GM and coach.
This is a team that is built to go quarterback sneak on second and long.
From your own four.
Yeah, and poor Daniel Jones. I just hope someday he is thought of something other than tripping over the 15-yard line.
No, but that and being, you know, the clone of Eli Manning.
Gosh.
Yikes. The lesser clone of Eli Manning.
I feel like the way we've described it, the Giants can go nowhere but up. This is time to be psyched as a Giants fan. At least I got rid of Judge. This is a good day, Maggie.
This is when you buy the stock in the Giants. Hopefully they have nowhere to go but up. Listen, maybe the arrows pointing up on the Jets, too. We'll see about that. Interesting stuff in New York. Thank you so much to Brian Jones, to Peter King, of course, Mike Samter, Stu Kovacs, Marlo Donahue, everyone who is a part of this show. We thank you. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.